Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke chapter 2. We're going to get there in a little bit. But I want to start off this morning by sharing with you a story about an old man who once found himself on a train right in the middle of these two ladies. And unfortunately for him, these two ladies didn't get along real well. They were arguing throughout the beginning of the trip whether or not the window beside them should be open or closed. The lady that was farthest from the window argued that the window had to be open or she would die of heat stroke. While the lady next to the window said the window needs to be closed because otherwise she's going to catch pneumonia and die. And so when the conductor came to collect the tickets, the ladies begged him to come up with a solution, to come up with an idea and a plan. But unfortunately, he didn't have an idea. He didn't have a plan. And so finally, the man in the middle, he spoke up. He said, I have an idea. First, open the window. That'll kill her. Then close the window. That will kill her. And then I can have some peace once and for all. Don't we all want peace? Well, peace is the focus of our second week of Advent. As I mentioned, if you were here with us last week, the word Advent means coming or arrival. And the purpose of the Advent season is to celebrate the birth of Jesus, his first coming, his first arrival here on earth. But it's also the anticipation of his return, of Jesus' second coming. And so with Advent, we celebrate that he has come. He has come, and that someday he will come back once and for all. That's what Advent is all about. And so in this celebration and anticipation of his coming, each week we light one of the Advent candles behind me. Now last week we lit the hope candle. That's why it's already lit this morning. And today we're going to light the second candle, which is the candle that represents peace. And so I'm going to do that this morning. And as this candle gets lit, don't you just feel the rush of peace across the room, right? Don't you wish it was that easy? Maybe it is. We're going to talk about that today. Now, during the month of December, we're taking a break from our series that we've been walking through this past year, The Bible, A True Story, so that we can take some time for our Christmas series that I've titled Christmas Gifts. And in this series, we're going to look at each of the attributes of Advent. And so today, we're going to talk about peace. If you have your Bibles, again, you can go to Luke 2. This is where we're going to begin. Most of you should be familiar with this scripture, whether you know it or not, is Luke 2, when I say that, whether it bounces into your mind. But it's the most popular scripture that is read at Christmas time. That's why many of you will probably be familiar with it, whether you know it or not. And today we're going to look at the section of scripture here where the angels visited the shepherds. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along, and we're going to read Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. This is what it says, beginning in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And that's where we're going to stop this morning. Now that last verse finishes by saying, and on earth, peace. Peace on earth. This idea of peace, it's such an interesting concept. Because when we look at the world's definition of peace, their definition of peace is this idea where there's the absence of trouble, right? This idea of being without conflict, without any war, that's their idea of peace. And if we really think about it, and if we look around the world around us, we all know that that kind of peace hasn't really existed in our world. Wars have raged. They raged long before Jesus came, and they have continued to rage even after he arrived. Even after the visit to these shepherds when the angels said, peace on earth. So what were the angels saying when they said that? What were they meaning when they claimed peace on earth? Is peace on earth, is that possible? Especially with all the pain and the conflict that we experience every day in the world around us. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe that it is, and I hope that you do too. I believe that Christmas brought us the gift of peace, as the angels exclaimed here in Luke 2. But here's the thing that we have to understand. The angels weren't talking about world peace, because that's where we go. We think of just this idea of like world peace, this kind of peace. They weren't talking about the absence of war. And so having a strong army, having an whole arsenal of nuclear weapons, won't help us experience the kind of peace that the angels were referring to. The peace that the angels were talking about is something that we can't achieve on our own. We can't achieve it in our own power or in our own strength. The fact is conflict, it's all around us. And our world is often experiencing anything but peace. And it's because of this that it's impossible at times for us to experience peace in a fallen world apart from God. We can't experience peace without Him. The idea of peace is lost in a world without Jesus. We can't have it without Him. We all know it's in our human nature to worry. It's in our human nature to doubt, to fear, to stress, to long for something more in this world. And these human struggles and desires keep us from being able to experience peace at times in our lives here on this earth. And to make things worse, we try to solve these problems on our own. We try to create this false sense of peace. We try to attain it by doing things ourselves. We try to take things into our own hands. We do whatever we can to bring that peace, to bring that security in our lives. We do whatever we can to make ourselves feel good. We fight for things and accomplishments that make us feel successful, as if that will give us peace. We do whatever we can to have that feeling of what we call peace in our lives. And we may be able to create a sense of peace for a while. But what happens when you live in Paradise, California, and in an instant, your house and everything you own is gone? I have an aunt and an uncle and then my cousin, both of them, gone. Their houses, everything destroyed. And what happens when you live in Florida and have a Hurricane Michael, which just recently happened, that rips through your neighborhood, destroying everything in sight? What happens when you live in Alaska and have a 7.0 earthquake destroy your business that you worked so hard to build? What happens when the rug gets pulled out from underneath us by things that are beyond our control? How do we experience peace in those circumstances? How do we experience peace then? You see, true peace, I believe, can only be found in the will of God, when we are in His will. Because true peace is a gift from God that we experience through Him, through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because peace, it's actually the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit that God has made available to us through the Holy Spirit in our lives, and He wants to give us that peace. It's the same peace that Jesus experienced when He was here on this earth. It's the same peace He experienced the night before He was betrayed. Can you imagine knowing, the Son of God, knowing what's about to happen, and God still experiences this peace? It's the peace that Jesus Himself prayed that we would experience too. The peace that Jesus Himself actually promised to give to His people. Listen to what Jesus says in John 14:27. Speaking to His disciples, He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." He says there, I'm giving you peace, but not the kind of peace that the world gives. Which causes me to ask the question, okay, what does that mean? What kind of peace does the world give? You see, the world can bring peace from time to time in our lives. There are things around us that can bring us peace. Maybe it's our security systems, right? Oh, I got a security system. I'm good. It brings us peace. I have health insurance. That gives me peace. Maybe our retirement plans, knowing that maybe there's a future ahead, can give us peace. A good police force that protects us can maybe give us peace. A powerful military, okay? These are all things that can give us peace of mind at times in our lives. And the world may have numerous things that help us live with more peace in our world. But Jesus said, I'm not giving you the kind of peace the world gives. So what does that mean? Here's what I think it means. I think it means that Jesus was saying, I'm not giving you the kind of peace that's here one day, but gone the next. He's not giving us the kind of peace that's based on circumstances, because for so many of us, our circumstances determine whether we have peace or not. And that's because His peace doesn't go away when the security system fails. His peace doesn't go away when the retirement fund dries up. His peace doesn't go away when we find out our insurance doesn't cover this or that. His peace doesn't go away when the police don't show up. His peace doesn't go away when our government and our military forces fail. Because His peace is not based on circumstances. His peace is found regardless of the circumstances. It's the kind of peace that the world cannot produce or even grasp. Why? Because it's the peace of God. Jesus says, "My peace, the peace of God, I give to you." Philippians 4:7 describes it as the peace that transcends all understanding. A peace that we cannot comprehend. Our minds can't wrap our head around. How can we experience peace in these times? You see, it's the kind of peace that allowed Jesus, as He hung on a cross with all the shame of the world and people mocking Him, spitting at Him. It's the kind of peace that allowed Him in that to utter the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's the kind of peace that I think it allowed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to say, "Throw us in the fiery furnace. Our God can save us. And even if He doesn't, we trust in Him." It's the kind of peace that allowed Peter, the night before he was supposed to be killed, to sleep like a baby. If you remember, they came and he was asleep. He was just out cold. Who falls asleep when they're going to kill you the next day? I know I wouldn't. Why would you sleep like a baby when you knew someone was going to kill you? This is the kind of peace that God gives. This is the kind of peace that God desires us to experience in our own lives, a peace that transcends. It goes above, it passes all understanding, a peace that enables us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all our ways so that He will make our path straight. Regardless of the circumstances and situations that surround us, God wants us to experience His peace. So how? How do we do it? How do we experience peace in this fallen, broken world? As I pondered that question and as I studied this idea of peace on earth, God led me to Philippians 4. And I want to finish things up this morning. You can flip there to that section if you want to follow along with me this morning. I want to finish things up by reading a small section of Scripture from Philippians 4 that was written by Paul. And I want to share a few points about this section of Scripture. And so if you do have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Philippians 4, just verses 6 through 9. Four simple verses here this morning in Philippians. Beginning in verse 6 of chapter 4, it says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." As you look at this small section of Scripture, I believe it tells us three things that will help us experience the gift of peace that God wants to give us. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. Real quick, as we finish up, I just want to share three quick things. Number one, praying to God. Now, when we're worried or anxious, we don't generally have peace, right? We've got these fears and things stirring in us, and we don't have peace. And in this section of Scripture, Paul suggests that instead of worrying, instead of being anxious, instead of lacking peace, we should pray. Come before the Lord. Make your request known. Give it to God. And I think Paul tells us this because he knows the power of prayer. Here's what prayer does. It takes things out of our hands and it puts it in the hands of God. Years ago, there was a man named George McCausland who was the director of the YMCA in downtown Pittsburgh. He served there at a time years ago when the YMCA was losing membership. They were having terrible financial difficulties, couldn't afford enough staff. And so George found himself working 75 hours a week with very little sleep, very little time off. It got so bad that he ended up having a heart attack. And his doctor told him that if he didn't slow down, he wouldn't make it through the next year. He knew he had to slow down, but he didn't know how to do that. He was worried, how would things get taken care of? Who was going to do this? Who was going to do that? Because he did everything. So one morning he went out on his back porch with his Bible and his journal just to seek the Lord, praying and seeking an answer. And it was interesting because as he was praying, he found himself beginning to write something in his journal to God. And he wrote this: "Dear God, I hereby resign as general manager of the universe. Love, George." And he shares that God accepted my resignation. You see, prayer enables us to take the weight and worries of this world off our shoulders and hand those worries and that weight to the Lord. Because we can't bear the weight of this world. but Jesus can. We give them to Him. How many of us are trying to be the general manager of the universe? Or maybe not. Maybe we're just trying to be the general manager of our families, of our workplace, of whatever. We're trying to be in charge. We're trying to make everything. We're trying to fix things on our own, feeling the worries and anxieties of the world, not having the answers. Maybe it's time we resign our position of problem solver and we give it to God, the one who truly solves problems. We start by praying. We start by seeking Him. If we're struggling with experiencing peace, that's where I encourage you to start, to stop and to begin to pray and to begin to seek the Lord and begin to give these things to Him. The second thing is this, focusing on the things of God. Praying to God, and then number two, focusing on the things of God. In verse 8 it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." How often do we find ourselves worried and anxious and lacking peace because we keep thinking and focusing on the problem? Or maybe we focus on how bad things may seem or how bad things could get if things don't change. We're focusing on the negatives. But here's the thing, instead of focusing on the negatives, instead of focusing on the problems, we should be focusing on the problem solver and His promises to us. When you think about it, as I was processing this, as I was praying about what does that mean to focus on the things of God, when I thought about this, I was wondering, well, where do we find what is noble? Where do we find what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, and so on? And the fact is I think we find it right here. When we open up His Word, we begin to see the goodness of God. We begin to see the wonderful, the pure, the holy. We see the things of the Lord. And so ultimately, this point, I think, is about opening up God's Word, reading His promises. This book is filled with promises of God, promises that will encourage us. And so when we're going through those times where we feel uneasy, where we feel worried or anxious, and we need peace in our lives, we pray, but we also open up His Word and let God begin to speak to us through the goodness of who He is. Because His Word, I believe, will bring peace. The things of God will bring us peace as it reminds us who He is and what He's done for us. So peace comes as we pray to God. Peace comes as we focus on the things of God. And then another way we experience peace, by number three, my final point, living for God. Living our lives for Him. In verse 9, Paul says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." And Paul, man, he loved the Lord and he was living his life for the Lord. And he's basically saying, live your life for God. And then it finishes by saying, "And the God of peace will be with you." He'll be with you. As I mentioned earlier, the kind of peace the angels were talking about cannot be experienced outside the will of God. We can only find that kind of peace inside His will. And when we live our lives for God, when we walk in His will, we find that He is right there every step of the way. And regardless of the circumstances that surround us, regardless of what we go through, we can find peace in knowing that He's right there with us. That's what verse 9 promises. Put it into practice, and not only will I give you peace, but the God of peace will be with you. I will go with you every step of the way. As I was studying these scriptures, I came across a story about a skydiver by the name of Felix Baumgartner. And on October 14th, 2012, right about six years ago, I can do my math, he broke two world records that had stood for 50 years. These records, no one had touched them for 50 years. The two records, he crushed the world record for the fastest dive, falling at a velocity of nearly 834 miles per hour. Can you imagine that? I can't even imagine that. You know, you got to wear something special, man. If you got to have something over your face, because otherwise your lips would just be like ripped off. You know, as you're going down, it's amazing. 834 miles an hour. He also then broke the record for the highest free fall, jumping out of a hot air balloon at 128,000 feet, which is just 24 miles up in the sky. Okay, 24 miles above New Mexico, he jumps out, breaking this record. But the 43-year-old skydiver graciously admits that he couldn't have done it without the help of his mentor, the previous world record holder for both records, 84-year-old Joe Kittinger, who was a retired Air Force colonel. Felix shared that Joe had been an integral part of him completing and accomplishing this dive. He shared that months prior to the record-breaking dive, Joe continually worked with him, continually encouraged him whenever he began to doubt his abilities. And during the dive, during the jump, Felix had one voice in his radio that was in his ear. It was the voice of Joe, who was there to reassure him every foot of the way, I guess you would say, every foot of the way was there to encourage him from Mission Control. And Felix shared how important having that voice in his ear was, especially during one particularly tense moment in the dive. He shares how early in the dive he started spinning out of control. Now, what's interesting is this is something that had happened to Joe 50 years earlier in his jump, started spinning out of control. And for Joe, he almost didn't gain control, almost lost consciousness, and almost died. And so the same thing began to happen. And during this time, Joe just kept talking to Felix in his calm voice, offering him reassurance. And when the dive was finished, Joe praised Felix for breaking his records. He said, Felix did a great job, and it was a great honor to work with this brave man. Now, an article in the National Geographic highlighted the special bond between these two men actually prior to the jump. There was an article about this jump about to happen. And in that article, Joe had said, I'll be the only one who knows how Felix feels. Because at that moment when he jumps from the steps, I will know because I have done it myself. And Felix agreed in the article saying, Joe knows how lonely you are at that altitude. Then he added, it feels like if Joe is there, nothing can go wrong. Great article and how this man helped this other man. And I think when we feel like we're spinning out of control, it's a comfort to us knowing that God is there with us. And he's not just whispering in our ear. He may do that at times. But the cool thing with our God is that he's actually got his arms wrapped around us. And he's holding us in the midst of the storm. He's holding us in the midst of the difficulties and the things that this world brings around us. And he knows how we feel. That's the thing. He knows how we feel because he has been where we are. That's the amazing reality of Christmas. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus himself left the glories of heaven with no restrictions, with all the wonders of heaven. He left heaven to come to earth as a man, as a human being, in its limited form. Yes, he was fully God, but he was also fully human. He had the limitations of what humans have, and he experienced all the hurts and pains that we all experience in this world. All the things that any of us, and that's the thing, when you think about what Jesus went through, all the things that any of us have ever experienced or will ever experience, as He stretched His arms out on the cross, He experienced all those things for us, for all mankind. And in doing so, He opened the door for all of us to then experience His peace. The kind of peace that transcends all understanding. And I believe He wants all of us to walk in that peace this Christmas season. That peace that He sacrificed all that He had for. And so God's desire is that we don't allow peace to be about our circumstances. That we experience the peace of God in our lives regardless of the circumstances. And it only comes from being inside His will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much for what Your Word shares with us, the truth of who You are, the truth of Your love for us, the fact that from the beginning, from the fall, as we talked about last week, from the very beginning, Lord, you created a hope in knowing that You were going to come and that You were going to be born into this world where You would eventually grow up and die on a cross for our sins, Lord. And knowing that brings hope, knowing that brings peace, brings joy, brings love into our lives. And it's an amazing thing that we know and understand because of Your Word, because of the truth of who You are, Lord. And as we enter into this Christmas season, or as we're, some of us are deep in the middle of it, Lord, my prayer is that we would experience Your peace, Lord. Not the peace of this world, not the kind of peace that is here for a time but can disappear, but the kind of peace that can last forever, Lord. The only kind of peace that can come from only You, Lord. And so that's my prayer for each of us, Lord, as we walk through this Christmas season, that we would experience Your peace in our lives. And Lord, I know that Christmas time is a wonderful time, a joyous time, but is also a very hard time for many people. Walking through difficulties and challenges with family and life, and there's just so much that goes on. And so my prayer that, Lord, regardless of what the exterior looks like, regardless of what the circumstances around us looks like in this Christmas time, that we would be able to truly experience Your hope and Your peace, the peace that transcends all understanding, that we'd be able to experience that this Christmas, Lord. And for any of us that are experiencing anxiousness, worries, doubts, fears, a sense of not having peace, Lord, may we start by seeking You, by praying. May we start by focusing on You and the things of You. And may we then begin to live the lives that You've called us to live, because it's in Your will that we experience Your peace, Lord. And I pray that for everyone here. We give these things to You, Lord. May Your Word speak to us today. May it challenge us, Lord. May it challenge us to be the people that You've called us to be, that we may experience the hope, the peace, the joy, the love of Christmas that comes from Jesus Christ. We thank You for these things. We give You all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.